Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text Number 2. Shri Prahlada Vacha,
Shri Prahlada Vacha,
Pitari Prashtite Smakam,
Pitari Prashtite Smakam,
Tapase Mandarachalam,
Tapase Mandarachalam,
Yudo Yamam Param Chakrur, Vibhuda Dhanavan Prati Shri Prahlada Vacha. Prahlad Maharaj said, Pitari, when the demon father Haranyakashipu Prasthite left for Asmakam are Tapase to execute austerities. Mandara Achalam, the hill known as Mandarachala. Yuda Udyamam, Yuda Udyamam, execution of warfare. Param, very great. Chakru, executed. Vibhuda, the demigods, headed by King Indra. Dhanavan, the demons. Prati, toward. Translation, but no purport. What do we do with a verse without purport? Well, we read it. Prahlad Maharaj said, when our father Hiranyakashipu went to Mandarachala Mountain to execute severe austerities, in his absence the demigods, headed by King Indra, made a sincere, severe attempt to subdue all the demons in warfare. So this, I was looking over these verses trying to figure out what kind of class to give, and I decided I couldn't figure out what kind of class to give. But I'm supposed to give class anyhow. But actually, generally, we're always looking for the, at least when I give class, but what's the philosophical point? One of the points is that we're supposed to experience the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's not just, we're just trying, you know, the Bhagavatam is just meant to give us some philosophical point. It's actually meant for experience. It's called Paramahansa Samhita. Now the question is, how do we get spiritual experience? One of them is by active reading. Does anyone know what active reading is? What's that? Well, that's nice. That's also pretty active. But while we're here, sitting here, trying to read, how do we actively read? Any idea? What's that? I understand, well, that's certainly what we hope we understand. But how do we understand? Understand what? Yeah, we can repeat, certainly. I mean, repeat up to what point? We don't want to be here until breakfast. Just repeat. It's not that long. Repeat doing what? Why are we repeating? To remember. Remember what? What's that? Well, that's good. Well, I guess sometimes they say that different people have different ways of learning. They have like visual learning and oral learning and tactile learning, whatever else. But ultimately, like at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya was talking to Dhritarashtra, and he said, Tatcha samsrita samsmita rupamadya bhutamhare vishmayo me maharajan rishami cha punak punak. In the repeated remembrance of this vision, this form, I'm taking pleasure, being thrilled at every moment. And remembering again and again the wonderful form of Krishna, I rejoice again and again. So, does anyone know what form he's referring to? No. No, what's that? Yeah, he's referring to the Vishwarup, remembering the Vishwarup form, this horrible feature of Krishna. He was being struck with wonder again and again. So our Sanjaya was actually, when Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, Sanjaya was actually experiencing what was going on the battlefield, and therefore he's able to relate it to Dhritarashtra. Similarly, these words in the Bhagavatam are actually the experience itself. Prabhupada writes in the original Srimad Bhagavatam that Narada, in the first canto, that Narada Muni has so kindly appeared in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So one who can actually hear the Bhagavatam will actually be living in the words. In other words, the words can actually bring us to the existence of what's being talked about. So that requires active listening. That every word, Prabhupada said, in the Bhagavatam is valuable. But it doesn't appear to us, you know, there's so many chas and these things like that. What is the value of that? But every word, so here Prahlad Uvacha, it says Prahlad Maharaj said, so first thing we should do is try to put in our mind, what does Prahlad look like? Does anyone know what Prahlad looks like? Take a guess. If you had to make a guess what Prahlad looks like, tell me what Prahlad looks like. What doesn't he look like? He looks like a young Indian. That's a pretty good guess. Doesn't look Chinese. He doesn't. What's that? Maybe he's Chinese. Anyhow, maybe your Prahlad is Chinese. When you hear Prahlad, do you think of someone Chinese? An old Chinese man? So Prahlad is a boy around 5 years old, and whatever, it's Satya Yuga, so even if 5 years old means that they're, you know, 5 meters tall at five, doesn't really, but relatively speaking, he's a child, 5 years old. And who is he speaking to here? That sounds like you're not so sure. Yes, you haven't been here, so you may not be so sure. Yes, he's speaking to his classmates. So what should we see? We've heard this. How many of us, when we heard this verse, were actually seeing a little five-year-old boy and surrounded by all these other five-year-old boys and Prahlad speaking? How many saw it? You saw that. Well, that's good. We should try to, when we hear this, it's not like, oh, Prahlad Maharaj, how boring. And let's get to the real substance of this. But itself, it should be, if we learn how to actively read, then we're with Prahlad Maharaj, and we're listening, just like we're one of the students in the class, and we're about to hear Prahlad Maharaj speak to us. And he said, when our father, Hiranyakashipu, so now, we have to see what Hiranyakashipu looks like. Do you think there's any one Hiranyakashipu that's valid? And if you don't get the right form of Hiranyakashipu, you get big X in your mind. Sorry, ding. You got it wrong. First of all, who's giving us remembrance? Who? Yeah, Krishna is giving us remembrance. So whatever remembrance, if we're trying to remember what Hiranyakashipu looks like, how could it be invalid? Krishna gave it to us, according to our ability. That's how Hiranyakashipu will appear. And then what Prahlad, first of all, who's Prahlad? You know who Prahlad is? This is not a trick question. Who's Prahlad? What's that? This is not even a trick question, but everyone's like, well, who's Prahlad? Where am I? How did I get here? Who are these people? Who's Prahlad? What's that? Yeah, Chisti Bhakti. Yeah. He's a clean devotee. He's a Mahabhagavat. He's a Swayambhura, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhishmo. He's one of our 12 Mahajans. So what kind of consciousness is Prahlad in when he's speaking to his classmates? He's going, well, you know, I gotta tell you because, you know, I'm supposed to give class today in school and the teachers are away. I just got to, you know. And what kind of consciousness is in Prahlad in? He's in ecstatic consciousness when he's talking to his schoolmates. They're not going, my God, wake the guy up, you know. He looks like he's falling asleep. And he's talking when he's giving us this class here, you know. Call the teachers back, at least what they say is more interesting. No, he's in ecstatic love when he's talking. Otherwise, how could he impress so many demons? Could you imagine going to your school, standing up in class and saying, my dear demons, let me tell you a story. They go, get lost, kid. We want to go out and play. But because Prahlad was so powerful, therefore everyone was listening to him. And he began to tell a story about his father, who's not an ordinary person. Even to these little demons, Hiranyakashipu is like super demon. He's like the big, and it's being related by Prahlad in ecstatic love. Now, if we see Prahlad and we see the classmates and whatever, so what do we do with the fact that Prahlad is teaching in ecstatic love? What can we do? We can listen. We could also try to feel what the atmosphere. In other words, we have the capacity to feel. We're not robots yet. Society's trying to make us into robots, but we're not quite robots yet. We have the capacity to feel. And if we try to feel, does that mean we won't be able to feel anything? That, you know, feeling is way beyond our experience. This is too deep for us. We never feel. Why are you trying to make me feel? No, we're feeling all the time. So we try, first of all, as I was giving in class yesterday, the art of Krishna consciousness is the art of focusing one's attention and then giving one's love to Krishna. So first we have to focus our attention. That's why the books were written down, so that we can have an opportunity to focus our attention. If I gave class and I just read the verse and no one had the chance to repeat it, then the result is it would just go out in our mind and out of our mind, as it usually does. But if we can repeat it again and again until finally it's in our mind, and it's very simple. Here we have Prahlad, 5-year-old boy, and then we have he's talking to his schoolmates. That much we know, and they're in the demon's palace somewhere in the someplace in the universe. It's in Satyuga. These are the things we know. And he's talking about Hiranyakashipu, who's a huge demon. And Hiranyakashipu went to a mountain called Mandarachala Mountain. So we see this demon going out to this mountain, and Prahlad's talking about it, to execute severe austerities. Now he's a demon, but he's going to do austerity. Generally the demons don't like austerities, although everyone's doing austerities, but generally people don't do austerities. But Hiranyakashipu, he understood that if he's going to become powerful, he had to do austerity. No one becomes powerful by just doing whatever they want. You have to become austere. You have to do something to control your mind and senses. Otherwise, without controlling the mind and senses, it's not possible to become powerful either materially or spiritually. And now in his absence, the demigods headed by King Indra. So what does Indra look like? What's that?
1,000 eyes.
1,000. Yeah, at least 1,000 eyes. His whole body is covered with eyes. He made a sincere attempt to subdue all the demons in warfare. So anyone who likes fighting and things like that, they can, you know, see these big battles going on with the demons. And it's bona fide. All these, if you're just daydreaming about, you know, some battle, I don't know what battles are going, you know, World War II or World War I, it's not bona fide. But when you're in Srimad Bhagavatam, and Indra, surrounded by all these demigods, there's the moon demigod, Chandra, there's Brahma, there's Shiva, there's Kartikeya, there's all these demigods, and then you see this huge battle with the demons. It's spiritual. It's all transcendental. You get credit for it, thinking like that. And so, even though this verse has no purport, it gives us an opportunity to, first of all, to meditate on what's going on. And eventually, just imagine if you're in a battle, huge demigods fighting against huge demons, all the anxiety, everything that's going on there, the screams, the fear, everything. And the more you feel it, the more you make spiritual advancement. It's all bona fide. That's why Nigama Kalpatura Galitam Palam Sukamukam Dravya Samyutam Pibata Bhagavan Alamayam Muhur Muhur Bhuvikaha. The Bhagavatam is like a desire tree. If you want to think about something mundane, don't think about something mundane. Come to the Bhagavatam and you can imagine it and you get credit for it. It's all there in the Bhagavatam. Fighting, romance, fear, anxiety, everything's there. And if you meditate on the Bhagavatam, rather than waste your time for our little fear, anxiety, romance, whatever, we can get the big romance, the eternal romance, the eternal fear, the eternal battles, and we can become spiritualized and go back to Godhead and participate in the real romance, the real battles, the real, you know, whatever is going on, cheating, fighting, whatever. Yeah, there's so much cheating in the Bhagavatam. Have you read the Bhagavatam? Anyone can name any cheating that goes on in the Bhagavatam? Anyone get changed up in the Bhagavatam? You know what change up means? It means you give someone you ask for $20 and you give them change. What's that? Yeah, vomited it. He got changed up. He changed Bali Maharaj. Just give me 3 steps of land. I'll give you back change. Took the whole universe. So everything's there. And whatever we want to experience, because everyone wants to experience something in the material world, that's why we came here, but we can get the same but better experience by hearing the Bhagavatam. So here a fight is going on, and this one little verse, Prahlad's speaking, he's giving a lecture, he's surrounded by all these demons in a class, and there he has to go quick because his teachers went out, and he has to tell all this before his teachers get back, and they get on his case. So everything in this one verse, without a purport, there's so much possibility to experience. That's why the great acharyas, they actually memorized the Bhagavatam. It said, Gadadhar Pandit, every time he read the Bhagavatam, tears would come out of his eyes. So much so that when Srivas Acharya wanted to get instructions from Gadadhar Pandit said, yes, I'd be glad to read you the Bhagavatam. Unfortunately, I've been crying so much by reading it that my tears have wiped away all the words in the Bhagavatam, so you'll have to go and get a new Bhagavatam. Now, I don't think many of us can say that, you know, Can I have your Bhagavatam? Sorry, I can't read it. What happened? Well, I was crying so much over the Bhagavatam. The tears wiped away all the Bhagavatam. But that's the possibility. Now, I don't think we're going to come to that stage on this class, nor can I teach you how to read the Bhagavatam and everyone's crying and crying. We had to get a box of tissues to everyone. You know, crying in the tissues, not in the Bhagavatam. But we have to experience the Bhagavatam. Of course, the way classes are usually given and the way we go so quick that no one really has a chance, you know, sit back and meditate. But that's when you actually come to a verse, because most of the classes are given on the verse. The verse should actually help us experience the verse. It's not just to give some philosophical point, but it's actually to help us experience what's in the verse. And then experience it, know what the key to experience it even more, to apply it in our lives, but not with the idea, okay, I'll just throw the verse away and apply it in my life. No, we apply it in our life by remembering the verse, and then we deepen our experience and our remembrance of the verse. Then our reading of the Bhagavatam becomes successful. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. You can go slow. We have at least 5 minutes.
I was wondering, because you said that whatever we imagine is given us to us by Krishna, obviously. Yeah. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that he gives us memory, remembrance, forgetfulness. But I was wondering, where is the borderline with the mental speculation then?
Well, anything outside of what the Bhagavatam says is mental speculation. Anything that the bona fide scriptures don't say is mental speculation.
So then my imagining that Prahlad is a Chinese boy, that's mental speculation, no? I mean, just wondering.
Yeah, of course. It's not bona fide. It's better than imagining that he's a, you know, 15-foot girl. That's really far. You know, because I was thinking that, you know, there are in India, there. Of course, this is not really taking place in India, by the way. This is taking place on the heavenly planets, Hiranyakashipus. But I don't know. Generally, one time I was in New Vrindavan, and there was a devotee named Ray Rama, who was the original editor of the Back to Godhead magazine, and he was there also. This is 1969. And he was upstairs speaking with Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was yelling at him. And I was like, wow, glad I'm not there. He's up in New Vrindavan, and he came down and he said, oh, Prabhupada was really upset with me. And it turned out that Ray Rama, in one of the original Back to Godhead magazines, like volume 10 or something like that, what happened was that he had put a picture of Arjuna and Krishna on the cover, and he made Arjuna, who was black. And Prabhupada said, do you think Arjuna, he was yelling at, well, first of all, what Prabhupada usually did, he just asked a question. And as soon as someone started to defend themselves, Prabhupada would get heavier and heavier. He didn't like when people defended themselves. And then finally Prabhupada wound up yelling at him. He's thinking, you know, Arjuna's black, you know, he's high, whatever. I can't remember. I wasn't there, so. Anyhow, the point is that Arjuna is described in the literature, and that's why Prabhupada would expect that on the Back to Godhead cover, you depict him the same way he's described in the literature. So it's very unlikely that we depict Prahlad as Chinese. First of all, I don't even know if there are any, I doubt whether there are any Chinese people there, but if we're going to depict, you know, if I was in China and I was Chinese, maybe I would think of Prahlad as a little Chinese boy. Just be natural. So it's not bad. The important thing is that Prahlad is a pure devotee and that he's preaching pure devotional service to his schoolmates. That's the important thing. Exactly what kind of ecstasy we're in when we're thinking about Prahlad, that's not so important, how we're experiencing it. But generally speaking, we have here in Prahlad, this is a bona fide picture, what he looks like. So we can meditate on that. Prabhupada gave us these pictures. They were called windows to the spiritual world. Because eventually when we're advanced, we'll actually realize that these are actually windows to the spiritual world. That we'll actually be able to enter into the picture. In the sense, we'll be able to experience what's in the picture. We'll be able to smell the picture, what's in the picture, taste what's in the picture, hear what's in the picture, experience what's in the picture. Will actually merge into the picture. Of course, we won't get lost. Where did he go? He's in the picture. Oh, wow, look at that. No, but we'll be able to actually experience the picture itself, because they're actually transcendental. The deities are not different from Krishna, just like there's a form of the deity made out of paint. There's a form of the deity made out of wood. There's a form of the deity in the mind. So when we picture, we'll actually be able, we'll be able to actually experience the picture. But when we put it into our mind, we can actually experience it also. And because everything going on in the Bhagavatam is ecstatic, because it's not only what we hear directly, but it's also Prahlad speaking. And Prahlad speaking, who's relating with Prahlad speaking? Who's giving the discourse? Narada Muni speaking to who? What's that? Yeah, ultimately Yudhisthira Maharaj, and then Shukadeva Goswami is speaking what he heard, etc., etc. So all these ecstatic devotees in pure love are repeating it. So none of it can be mundane. It's all ecstatic, and we'll get the experience of so many ecstatic devotees in their whole different moods and their different emotions. It's like there's no limit to the whole thing, even one verse in the Bhagavatam. But we have to have some faith in it. And we have to learn how to actually take it seriously and enter into it, and therefore it will become a great opportunity for transcendental experience. But if not, then we have the Bhagavad Gita. And the Bhagavad Gita is actually meant to prepare us so we can actually hear the Bhagavatam. So we can give up our mental speculation. We know what mental speculation is. Anything which is not thinking of what the bona fide scriptures tell us. And our desires for sense gratification, which take our intelligence away. And ultimately, it says, we lose our memory, which is memory, our ability to experience and feel. And our intelligence, our ability to know how to feel and experience. So those things are taken away by sense gratification. And not only that, but lust, anger, and greed, and bewilderment put us into a whole world of ourselves, which is selfish, which means our relationship with everyone else deteriorates, because we don't see everyone else as they are in relationship to the transcendental pastime that's going on right in front of our eyes. In other words, even this, what we see here now, is actually Krishna's transcendental pastime. It's Krishna's creation. And it's a pastime, and we're in the internal energy of that pastime, because we're in the Bhagavatam class. So when our intelligence and our mind becomes purified, then just sitting here, we'll be in the spiritual world. We'll actually be in the spiritual world. And even when we go out, we'll see that people are actually in the spiritual world, but we'll see that they're in the prison of the spiritual world. But we'll actually see them as, you know, Krishna's eternal servants, simply uselessly suffering in the prison of the material existence. So our whole experience will change. Anyone else have a question? Yes.
If Gadadhar Pandit washed away all the Bhagavatam, then this means that he cried at all the sections of Bhagavatam. But what kind of he was touched, or he was touched by every section.
He was in ecstasy.
Okay.
Well, first of all, for instance, if we could actually meditate upon Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, for instance, we'd be in ecstasy. But what is Prabhupada meditating upon? He's meditating not only on his spiritual master, he's meditating upon his spiritual master. The whole disciple succession is there in that meditation. Plus the six Goswamis, plus the pastimes of the Panchatattva, plus the pastimes of the Panchatattva, remembering the pastimes of Krishna in the internal energy. Everything's there. So there's endless varieties of taste and pleasure. So we'd be completely in ecstasy. Unlimited ecstasy is available there. But if we just stop, we think about Prabhupada, and we forget his connection with Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta, with the disciple succession, and the six Goswamis, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feeling separation from Krishna and Vrindavan, then we'll have a very limited experience. But that's all right. That experience itself, remembering Prabhupada, is perfection. But as we advance, then the opportunity will become more and more broad. And there's something called Sarasaki and Mantra City. Mantra City means that we're trying to focus our mind upon what we're hearing in the Bhagavatam. So that when we hear Venum Kwanantam Aravinda Dalaya Taksha, we see, we actually visualize there's Krishna, he has a peacock feather, he has eyes like blooming petals, like lotus petals, blooming lotus petals, he's surrounded by devotees. So that's called mantra upasana, meditation, trying to use our intelligence to meditate, because that's our capacity. That's our ability to focus our mind on Krishna. But as it develops deeper and deeper, then it turns into sarasaki. Sarasaki means that we'll enter so deeply into that meditation that one will actually be there. We'll be able to experience with all our senses what's going on in the pastime. We can hear Krishna playing his flute at a very advanced stage. And then one pastime after another will just spontaneously come to our remembrance and our experience. But we have to start somewhere. So we start trying to focus our mind upon Krishna somewhere. And it's called sadhana bhakti. And as we develop some experience, then we'll develop taste and faith, and then we'll become more interested in sadhana bhakti, in doing it nicer and better and more regularly. But without experience, it just becomes mechanical. It's like, oh yeah, did I got to chant my rounds? You know, yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So much time wasted chanting, I got to do it. I want to be, you know, I don't want to go to hell, so Hare Krishna. Please don't send me to hell. I'm trying to be good. It's meant for more than that. And we have to try. I mean, it's that which in the beginning is bitter like poison, the end is like nectar, and which awakens one to self-realization, said to be happiness, the mode of goodness. So it's bitter like poison, trying to focus our mind upon Krishna, trying to dust off our intelligence and try to get to work again so we actually see something. It's not just, you know, Prahlad, P-R-A-H-L-A-D. I saw it so many times. Maybe I should think about it backwards. It would be more interesting. No, we have to try to use our intelligence the best we can to actually gain some access to transcendental experience. Then it'll become interesting to hear it. Then people will have to tell you, oh, come to class, or else you're a demon. Oh, okay, I'll come to class. I don't want to be a demon. You'll fall down, you don't come to class. Oh, my God. Please save me. That will actually be interested. Like the gopis, when they hear Krishna's flute, they don't go, well, my God, it's time for lunch. Why doesn't he come a little later? No, they run out. They're so anxious all day long. They're waiting for Krishna to come. When they hear his flute, they run out to see him. Even they're not even dressed properly, they still run out. They're so anxious to see Krishna. So if we get this opportunity to hear Bhagavatam or to read or chant our rounds, we have to check our consciousness. You know, oh, my rounds. God, how unfortunate I am today. I got still rounds left. Oh, Krishna. Why are you torturing me like this? We have to get some. We can try and change my attitude. All right, I'll be nice. I'll try and be. But we have to change our experience, and we'll be interested in doing it. Just do it day after day, and try to understand how to do it better, and pay a little bit more attention, whatever it takes to do it better. Then gradually, we'll develop a taste for it. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, but why crying? We usually cry out of humility, seeing how devotees and Krishna are merciful.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't cry. You have to ask Gadadhar Harpanda. I don't know why he was. Whatever his experience was, is completely beyond my imagination. What he was experiencing, I can't.
Probably you are humble.
I have no idea. Here, he's right here. You can ask him. If he gives you a reply, you can tell everyone else. I have no idea what was going on in his mind. I don't. I, you know, Anyhow,
I'm just
repeating what I heard from the scripture about Gadadhar Pandit. But I don't. First of all, I don't even know really who Gadadhar Pandit really is. You know, he's Radharani without the, you know, the vamana, the left wing axis. I have no idea what. All I know is that, you know, if we serve the Panchatattva, gradually these things will be revealed to us. But right now it hasn't been revealed to me, so I can't reveal it to you.
But this great humility is basis of all other emotions, probably. So I can imagine being humble, crying.
I'm sure he was humble.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I mean, humility and love go together. I mean, so that's true. Okay, thank you very much. Krantare Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.